And turn in your Bibles to Ezra, if you would, please. Ezra chapter 8. Ezra chapter 8 will be there. Chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. And I'm going to be there. Just want to mention a few verses. But as the Lord has laid this passage on my heart, it's just goes along with the subject of revival. And so if you want to find Ezra, find the book of Nehemiah, find Esther, go back a couple books or one book, and you'll find it right there, right after Chronicles. Sometimes I have a hard time finding some of these myself. So Ezra chapter number 9 is where we'll be. Just want to, first of all, just reflect upon the good week that the Lord gave us. And as we mentioned before, and I still hold to it, you can't schedule revival and the sense of God's Spirit working. You prepare for it. And I'm so thankful. I mentioned to Brother Aaron a couple times. Folks, let us never underestimate the importance of the gift of the evangelist. It is biblical, as we would see in Ephesians chapter 4, that the evangelist is a gift that God has given to the local church. And I am grateful. And as your pastor, I at least want two evangelists coming through our church at minimum, two a year, to preach and to help us and encourage us and build us up and to prepare us for the work of the ministry. And God sent Brother Aaron and his team here, and it was all just the providence of God, how everything worked out, and them coming anyway. I'll be honest with you, I was not sure. After Matt passed away, I just said, well, Lord, you know what you're doing. I don't know what I'll do if they are not able to come. But Lord, you just please have mercy on us. You know what we need as a church. And the Lord saw fit to go ahead and bring them here, and that He did. You know, our theme, again, this year is to be faithful. Out of 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we talked about what that word faithful means. What are some other terms, synonyms of that word faithful, what that means in the Word of God? Somebody just share some things with me from what you remember me saying about that word. What does that carry? What is the idea that it carries? Trustworthy. What is another one? Dependable. What's another one? Consistent. Reliable. These are all exactly right. God has called us as we are stewards, as we are managers of what He's blessed us with. He's calling us to be dependable, trustworthy, faithful people. And I want to just bring that theme out even now, as we need to be faithful to what God's Spirit did in our church this past week. We need to be trustworthy that Lord sent His evangelists, these gifted people that loved the Lord and gave of their lives for that week just to be here with us. I pray that God would help me to be trustworthy to what He blessed me with and how He spoke to me this week and how He spoke to you. May we respond. Now, I know some of you say, well, Pastor, we were actually sick in the bed and couldn't even get out. Well, listen, I want to encourage you, friend. Number one, you will be able to get those messages online. I double-checked that they are there. But secondly, though you were not here in your physical presence, I want you to know you were here in spirit because you are part of the body. And the body benefited that week. And I trust that you even uttered some prayers for the meetings, even while you were not feeling well. And the Lord blessed. And if you would, I'd like, if you'd allow me to here, I just want to kind of recap and reflect upon what God showed us. I'm not going to re-preach His messages. Brother Aaron's a much better preacher than me, and I wouldn't even dare try to do that. But I do want to just kind of review of some of the nights, all of the nights, and the messages that He gave us. And for us to really just remember what the Lord did. And these are messages, by the way, that God just impressed upon His heart. And He felt like this would be a help to us, and I'm glad He did. But that first one was Sunday school. Now, teenagers, I'm sorry, I can't apply this one to you. I hope you remember what Brother Dylan preached in Sunday school, but you'll have to make application there. But for us, it was Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. And he talked about living our life worthy of the gospel. living our lives worthy of the gospel, striving together, fighting for the truth, and making it real in our lives. And I'm so thankful for that. And then the second message that Sunday morning, anybody remember the passage he preached out of? Psalm 139, wonderful message, classic message in my book. It goes down in my journal as a classic. By the way, I don't say this to brag on myself. I don't always do it. But I encourage you, if all possible, when a guest preacher comes in, if you want to do it, may I encourage you to do it too? But write down notes. As the Word of God is being given, it's good to record thoughts that God gives you. Just whether you write it on a piece of paper and stick it in your Bible and go write it later, it's not that you have to keep this long journal. I'm not saying that. But I can go back from years back and flip back and see, wow, a message that God really used in my life and something that will help you. I encourage you to do that. And this here's another thing. Now listen, I'm not trying to force you to do anything, but I will tell you another thing it does. It encourages the preacher. As the preacher stands and he sees that people are taking notes, that they really do care. And it's not saying that you don't care if you don't take notes, but it is an evidence that you're really looking for God to show you something and teach you something, to jot down some notes. So even if you got a pen ready, that helps. And I know I've always heard that, and I believe it's true. When I was in Bible college, they used to say, "Hey, fellas, take notes when the preacher comes in, and be encouragement." And I was like, "Okay, well, you take notes." And I found that was beneficial, but also found out as I preach, I appreciate it when people are recording the things that God is saying through His Word, not just the words of Brinson, but the words of God. And so anyway, Psalm 139, the Lord taught us some wonderful things through there. And the very fact that God sees everything, you know, David thought it was wonderful. I told the Sunday school class this morning, that message, I had never connected the two, that as he went through and said, "Lord, you know my uprising, my downsitting, you know my whereabouts, you know everything about me, everything." And even with all that, with the sin in David's life and the things that he had committed, and the things that he was committing, if that be the case, but the very fact of the matter is, he would go on to say, "And God, your thoughts towards me are precious." The very fact that is life-changing in your thinking. If you are a performance-based Christian, that is life-changing. And so we don't perform as Christians. We let Christ live through us, but we don't earn God's favor. Okay? And it just the very fact that boy, how it hit me that on my worst day, I am still just as precious to God as I ever have been on my worst day. And that's not because of me. Yes, he's grieved because of my sin. Yes, of course it's going to hurt me in being more useful. But the very fact of my position before the Lord, I'm just as precious because I have the righteousness of Christ. And that provokes us and encourages us to run to God. And we want to sometimes cover our sin and run from it because we're afraid God's going to put light on it. It's going to bring pain. But David said, "Oh Lord, how wonderful it is to know that you know everything and you see everything. I'm coming to you, Lord, because you see." And I love the illustration he gave as a cockroach. Wasn't that a blessing? That we're just a bunch of cockroaches, you know. We're tempted to run, but he said, "Bless God, we can be saved cockroaches," you know. And that illustration, it was a wonderful morning. God worked in that. I encourage you to get that message and listen to it from time to time. It will help you. We went on to Sunday evening. I know I'm putting you to the test here, but does anybody remember what that message was? It was out of Ephesians chapter 4, and it was talking about being enrolled in what? School of Christ. In school with Christ. That was a powerful message out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And one statement that stuck out to me that you know, it just helped me. He said, "Go to school with Jesus every day." Go to school with Jesus every day. And of course, how do we do that? We go to His Word. We let Him speak to us. He's got something to teach us. And just imagine yourself. Hey, there's nothing wrong with this, folks, because it's true. When you meet with the Lord in your privacy, and the privacy of your own home or room, whatever, Jesus is there, my friend. Jesus is teaching you the Word of God. And He's there with you. And what a blessing that is to go to school. And then he talked about the principles of put off and put on. And man, that was a tough message. talked about lying and different things of that nature, and he went through what a blessing that was. Things that were decisions we made that night, things to put off and to put on. Then the next message was joy and trials, the book of Philippians. That was the next message, and boy, what a blessing that was, just understanding that we can have joy in trials despite the circumstances that we face, that we are to rejoice. And then, of course, the next message was Psalm 1. Blessed is the man. Blessed. And he talked about being satisfied. And what a great message that was on where do we find our satisfaction. And it goes through, first of all, talking about what he didn't find his satisfaction in. And the counsel of the ungodly, and then sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He goes on through that, things where he knew he couldn't find satisfaction. But he talked about the satisfaction coming from this blessed book, the Word of God. Man, that's where we find our fulfillment. And I love this too, going back to that whole idea of performance. I really appreciate him saying this. Because, you know, we all want to get in a habit of reading the Word of God. But the truth is, you know, sometimes he said, listen, duty, I wrote it down here. He said, duty is good, but delight is the goal. Duty is good. I mean, we have to have duty. Duty is a right, a noble thing, as he said. But boy, our goal is to get to where we delight in this book. We want to get into it. And sometimes, as he said, and it's so true, sometimes it's only duty. You're tired. You don't feel good. You're slaving through the book of Leviticus and you hardly are understanding any of the verses. And man, you're trying to work through it. But you know what? Just stick with it. And eventually, it'll be a delight. It'll be a delight, and that is the goal. And how he talked about how blessed that man is. And again, I'm not going to re-preach it, but praise the Lord for that message. We made decisions that night. And then the next message was wonderful too. That was out of Isaiah chapter 6. And when I see the King, and we talked about Isaiah's response to the holiness of God and how he was a broken man, even as a prophet, to admit that he had unclean lips, unheard of. But Isaiah, when he saw the holiness of God, he was broken. And boy, this is one of the things that I left with, that message. Isaiah said, Lord, you've purged me with your blood. You purged me. And you know what he said? Let me serve you. Send me, Lord. Here am I. You've done that for me. Oh, God, let me serve you. I'll go. I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'm your man, Lord. Please. And man, just the encouragement that was to me that, man, you've been bought by the blood of Christ. Let's stand up and say, Lord, here am I. You've purchased me, Lord. Let me do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. What a blessing that was. And then family fun night. Now that was a blast, was it not? We had an exciting time, folks. If you did not catch that, I mean, you probably could get some videos from, I saw some on Facebook or whatnot. But we did some snake handling and different things of that nature. And no, we didn't really, but it looked like it at one point. But it was a blessed night. But boy, I'm telling you, the fun was good, but the Word of God was even better. He preached out of James chapter 3, and I want to tell you what, it was like, poof, poof. I was getting hit left and right. But boy, then he just helped me out just by just speaking to us about, look, you can get the victory. And he talked about that night out of James chapter 3, man's wisdom as opposed to God's wisdom. And man, we talked about being gentle and easy to be entreated. And I told my wife later on, I said, man, I can't think, at least for me, I couldn't have thought of a better message for the family that night. You know, because that all revolves around our communication with each other. Parental, you know, kids to parents to kids, spouse to spouse. It just really was so needed. And I'm so grateful for that. We all made decisions that night in some way. We all responded to the Word of God. And so, you know, then Friday night, we had our Irish concert. And praise God, don't forget all the visitors we had. I know, counting, I got a few others that I think I'm missing. But I know that I've counted. We have at least 20 first-time visitors for the whole week. That's an answer to prayer, is it not? Let's rejoice in that. People that we invited, people that came that were not invited. They just came. And we're grateful for that. And that we want that to be the norm, by the way. We want to continue that spirit of just inviting people all the time. Would you come to church with me this Sunday? Hey, come on. We want to be an encouragement. We want to be a blessing. Come to church with, you know, we want that to be the norm, but that was a blessing. And I appreciate you guys making the effort. I know some of you were disappointed. I was too, but listen, that is a part of the Christian life. Not everyone's going to respond to every invitation to come to church or to come to Christ. But you know what the important thing is? God says, look, if you just do the inviting, I'll do the rest. I'll do the rest. And that's a comfort to me that the seed is planted and that we are making an effort to bring people to the Lord and to help them in their walk with Him. Well, you know, we have those things. And then I think of a passage here, and then I'll open us up for testimonies here in just a moment. Look back in your Bibles with me in Ezra chapter 9. So what we have here, Ezra chapter 9, I'll read verse 1. Now, when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priest and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands. And it goes on to say, doing according to their abominations, even to the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Egyptians, and the Amorites, they were coming back, and what they were doing is there was some intermarriage going on. Intermarital relationships, and what was going on is Ezra had come back to that, to Jerusalem. Now you'll remember, this will be his second time coming back. And he's coming into the scene and he's finding out, wow, the people have started going south. Wow, we were freed from bondage and here we are, people are starting to marry off and all these other nationalities and these different groups that were not of the faith, were not of the Israelite faith. And he's saying, oh, wow. What is going on here? And if you read through the passage there in verse 3, we see brokenness. He rent his garment. He was plucking the hair out of his head and his beard. And he just sat down broken, it says. And look what he says, and this is where I kind of just wanted to mention this evening. In verse 8, he moves down here after being broken and just saying, how can this happen? What have we done? Look at verse 8. He says, and now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant, to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. You see what's going on here? Ezra is reviewing the very fact that God had given them some reviving, and by simply reviving and giving and freeing them from the bondage therein, he's talking about the captivity that they were under at one time with the Babylonians. Of course, we know the Persians let them go. And that was the grace of God. God had showed us a little grace in their bondage and they were freed. And man, they had gone back and they had built the temple. They had dedicated the temple and things were going good. Some great things were happening. But then, things started going south. And there was a burden here. And what God had freed them in. And verse 10 stood out to me as what I believe we can make application to us tonight. Listen to what Ezra says here in verse 10. And now, O our God, what shall we say after this? And let me just make application to what happened this past week. There was some bondage in our hearts. There was some bondage in our lives. And the Word of God came forth and the Spirit of God says, look, I'm going to free you from this bondage. I'm teaching you something here. I'm going to encourage you. I want to change your direction. And I'm so thankful Brother Aaron said it often, that salvation, the gospel, was not just to change our final destination. It does, but that's not what it's for. It's to change who we are even today. And God did some changing work in our lives. And you know what I'm asking God to help me with my decisions? I'm saying in verse 10, God, what shall we say after this? I want to say, Lord, I'm going to do my best to be faithful. I want to be trusted with what you did in my life and the decisions I made. I want to be trusted with those decisions. I don't want to be a two-face. I don't want to make a decision one day and then flee from you the next and just go off emotion. Lord, I want to be faithful. And so what I would say for us tonight, let our testimony, the testimony of Crooked Creek Baptist, be the second part of verse 10, which says, for we have forsaken thy commandments. No, let it be, Lord, you've met with us, you've strengthened us. Oh God, we're looking to you now to empower us to be faithful to the decisions that we made that week. A little reviving from the bondage that we were in and things that we were struggling with. God met with us and helped us. And I believe through that we will see God continuing to work. And of course we know on to chapter 10 there was another revival. And there was another confession of sin that was going on. But I tell you what, you know, we think of worldliness. At least when I was growing up as a Christian, when I think of worldliness, we think of outward things. You know, we do, don't we? We think of either, you know, type of dancing or wrong type of dancing or wrong type of watching things. Now, those can be forms of worldliness. But folks, one of the things that Lord taught me in that this past week, that worldliness is more a matter of the heart than anything. It really is. I mean, it can come out in all types of flavors and whatnot. I mean, hey, we could sit here for the next 3 weeks and name all the symptoms that we see from worldliness. But when it gets right down to it, worldliness is a matter of who you are, of who we are in Christ and what we're seeking to do. It's the motive. It's the eternal look on life. It's not the temporal look. That's a sign of worldliness when everything's just temporal. But when we have the lens of Christ Jesus in our life, I tell you what, that will combat worldliness. And I believe that this was a problem here. There was some worldliness going on. They were combining themselves with the world because it was a matter of the heart. They got away from God, and Ezra's like, come on, guys. Look what God did for us. God set us free. He let us get our temple back. Man, we got it set up. We're worshiping. We've dedicated it. Hey, guys, let's be faithful. Let's follow through with the commitments we made. God has been merciful. God has been gracious. Let's respond with liberty, with gratefulness, and give God the glory. That's what I'm trusting that the Lord would help us to do in these days to come. You know, here in just a moment, I'd like to open it up for some testimonies. We're going to have, do we have mics ready? Okay, we do have one. Do we have another one? Or do you need mine? Okay, you got the lapel mic on, Brother John? All right, so we'll go ahead and let Brother Mike here get this thing wrapped up so that we can use both mics. Now, if you have a testimony that you'd like to share, I want to express this, not to pressure anybody here, but one thing I would just like to say is that God, this should be liberty for us to speak about what God has done in our lives. Is there anything that embarrassing about God working in our lives? No, not at all. The exact opposite. It gives God the glory. And I'm so thankful that we don't have to be ashamed about decisions we've made and how God has helped us or encouraged us or corrected us. We don't have to be ashamed about that, but we can be thankful with gratitude, and may God get the glory for all that we praise Him for. But anybody would just like to start us off as a word of testimony of how maybe the week impacted you as a whole, or one message, or something totally different from the message here. It didn't have to happen at this church, but just something God did in your life last week that you'd like to share with the rest of us. Anybody would like to be brave enough to start us off? Yes, Brother Christian, thank you.
Several months ago, maybe it was, I heard a message here where the preacher said about the mighty men of David, how they were all boxed in by their inabilities. And that describes me. I mean, in many ways, I feel boxed in by my inabilities and kind of getting frustrated about that and discouraged. But this week, how Brother Aaron always emphasized that we go to the Lord and just admit our brokenness.
Amen.
That it's actually a good thing if we feel like that, because, I mean, that's how we are. And so that was so encouraging to just learn that God knows my inabilities and I can even glory in them. Mm. And one particular thing that he kept, I mean, almost every message came back to the same thing, which is, I need to be more gentle.
Me too, brother.
And, you know, watch my words, be gentle, be easy to be entreated, mostly with my children and with my wife. And that is something where I'm, again, unable to do it myself. And so I praise the Lord that he showed me that. So.
Amen. I second that message right there. Just, I tell you, it's been by the grace of God, but there have already been numerous occasions where I was responding, beginning to respond, and that message, God's Spirit brought that message to mind. Has anybody else experienced that this week? A message came to you when you were about to think something, do something, say something? Praise the Lord. That's just a work of God's Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Brother Christian. Someone else? Yes, Brother Tim Sparks, let's get that. I like using the mic because, you know, folks in the auditorium can hear very easily, and folks that may not be able to come because of sickness can listen to the testimonies.
Yeah, in my case, I didn't spend a lot of time in the revival this week because, you know, we were, you know, got Tara home and we're working with her. But I think the biggest thing, if anything, and I think Christians sometimes take it for granted, but we needed this week was the encouragement. Mm-hmm. Just their spirit, the folks up there when they sang.
Yes.
You know, you come home through a hard day and you come to church, you go to a revival, and these people just, you know, they get you charged up.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what I needed. You know, that's what we needed. And I took those videos home and I took the CDs home and it pumped up us, you know. And that's what we, you know, Christians need sometimes.
You're exactly right.
Amen.
Amen.
So,
amen, Brother Tim. Built up, edified. That's what happened. We had to get broken down some as well, but the Lord always built us back up. Amen. Someone else like to share? Yeah, Brother Hunter.
Leading up to this week, not this week, this past week, I wouldn't say I was dreading it, but I wasn't looking forward to it. I was more of saying, you know, oh man, it's going to be tough to make it to every one of these services. I'm going to be wore out. You know, I'm going to be fighting to pay attention because I'm so tired from whatever I was doing that day. But the Lord changed me. You know, He revived me, and particularly, you know, by Thursday, I had to work a little later than normal, and I kept looking at my phone. I better hurry up and finish this so I can make the service tonight.
Amen.
But just praise the Lord for that. You know, He changed me, and you know, and He used that to once I got there, to get something out of it and to be encouraged and stuff that I need to work on. So,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, Hunter. Amen.
While it's over here, I'll just say what I was going to say. a few weeks ago, God had impressed upon my heart that I need to be more about His Word, reading more of His Word, studying His Word. And Brother Aaron just reaffirmed that, because I know that at least three times, and he said it in the pulpit, he said, look, at least three of these messages, God has brought me back to this Word. This is what you've got to read.
Amen.
And study and base everything. So y'all pray for me that I will be more in God's Word this year.
Amen. Amen. Who else would just testify and say, Lord, help me be more faithful in the Word of God this year? Amen. That's a struggle, that and always another way that God has worked in my heart. And by the way, that passage in Ezra, I didn't point that out. I read it. But, you know, it wasn't just the people. It was the priest and the Levites that were struggling. And I want you to know your pastor struggles too. And I thank God for these testimonies. God spoke to my heart very much so. Amen. Somebody else. Yes, Sister Linda. Brad's going to get you that lapel mic.
I was here every night, but Wednesday night. And Wayne, my older son, said, "Mama, you can't go. It's got to where now the children tell the parents what to do when they get a certain age." He said, "The road is too bad and you don't need to be on it." So I need to get that CD. But it was a blessing all week, and I was amazed at the scriptures that he brought out, because Jamie and I had talked about them so much. Mm. And he would emphasize things in James and then the epistles. He would tell me, you know, the epistles are written to the church.
Yes.
And God inspired Paul to write to the churches of what we needed to be doing. And he would say, "Have you got to the epistles yet?" And I said, I try to read it, one of them, just at least once a week or more.
Sure.
Because they've been a blessing to me.
Amen.
And then the Psalms. Ever since Jamie passed, the Psalms have kept me going. They've spoke to me so much, you know, of having fear or being sad.
Sure.
Things that David went through.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just thank the Lord for His Word. And for the church, and it just it was just exciting for me this week to hear Brother Aaron, and then to find out that his wife was a Jew.
Yes.
And we had a heart for the Jewish people for so many years. I've forgotten, really. And I thought, oh, I could just hear Jamie if he was here.
Yeah.
And I felt like he was sitting by me the whole time.
Amen.
And you would say something, or somebody else here would say something, and he'd look at me and wink like, "Yeah, you know, that's right." And I could feel that, or him holding my hand.
Amen.
And it sort of got overwhelming toward the end. And Brother Aaron said he noticed me when he looked my way once that I was struggling, but it was because I was feeling him not being here.
Mm-hmm.
And I still am not comfortable if I'm not in my spot. But I left pretty quick after we went back to the fellowship because I just tried to take in everything and not miss anything. And it was such a blessing. But when I got back there and all the families back there, and I did take time to speak to Brother Aaron and Stephanie and talk to her about her cousin, and I've been praying for her.
Amen.
But I just got to feeling like I was getting where I couldn't breathe good. I thought, I've got to leave. And I told Eugene I was leaving, and I got in the truck and I began to weep, the seat being empty next to me. And when we had something going on good, like we did this past week, we would talk about it on the way home. And he was always excited any time over God's Word.
Amen.
And I'm praying that I will get the excitement that he had.
Amen.
When Brother Aaron mentioned reading, you know, getting in the Scriptures and all that, I could just see him sitting at the dining room table with the Bible open and maybe a commentary, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And I've told God I want that hunger for the Word too.
Amen.
Like he had.
Amen.
And it really blessed me. But when I got home, I said, "Lord, forgive me for getting upset like that." I was just thinking back over so many times.
Sure.
I said, I have to say, he told me so many times that if something did happen to him, that I wouldn't be alone.
Right.
that the Holy Spirit would be there with me. And I said, I've got to claim that now.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is right here by me when I was on my knees by the bed. And I got comfort from it.
Amen.
And looking in His Word. And it was just really a blessing to me the whole week.
Amen.
And I'm so glad I could come the nights I did.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Linda. Amen. What a blessing. Anybody else? We open it up. Just share what God did in your heart. Be a blessing. Oh, little Hunter's got a testimony, doesn't he? Amen. I'm glad to be here. That's what he's saying. Been in that hot tummy way too long. Anybody else like to share a testimony? How God spoke to your heart this past week in the revival meeting? Decision you made? Just like to share with our church. We can rejoice with you. Yes, Angela. Wait, sit just a second. We'll get you this mic.
I just want to thank the Lord for the whole week. The messages were wonderful, but the message through the music and the worship, just God ministered to my heart.
Amen.
Incredibly through the team, through the music, and through the worship.
Amen. Someone else. These have been so good. Yes, Sister Kathy.
I just will second what Angela said. That team, you know, I can really relate to what Hunter said. I was thinking, oh, dear Lord, I'm going to be so tired every night. And I did. I came every single night. And I did real good, except for the night that, you know, we had the fellowship back there and I was too tired to stay. But
sure.
I'm not a night person. But they exuded strength and energy and happiness. And he did direct eye contact, which meant that I paid attention better. And they were happy people. And their
Amen.
Smiles, they'll never know how much their smiles ministered to
Amen.
My spirit. And the music, it could only be better in heaven. I mean,
Amen.
It was just fantastic.
Amen.
And it blessed me.
Amen. I second that.
Can I share one other thing?
Sure.
Friday, prior to the start of the revival, Christian and Brinson came to my house and talked to me. And I have had a lifelong struggle with bitterness. And I felt like God delivered me from that. I have been tested since then.
Sure.
And I need everybody's prayers, because when I heard about those 13 children that had been tortured, what I feel toward those parents surpasses the word bitterness.
Yeah.
And you know, and I try, when I have those feelings, I try not to think about the parents. I try to just say, okay, that's a reminder to pray for those children.
Amen.
But they've done medical testing on them, and my heart goes out to them so
sure.
much.
Yes.
Some of them have been so starved that the doctor said that the body will do everything it can to protect the brain and the heart, even if it means digesting the organs. But some of them have been malnourished for so long that their brains are permanently affected, and they have neurological damage that will be there the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And I have really had a hard time with that. Those are human beings. Those
sure.
are people. Those are kids. They didn't deserve that.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if I can say that I'm free from bitterness or not now.
Well, sister, I believe that you have gone a long way. And you've made huge steps. And that's why all God looks for is us to make steps. And by the way, any step forward, no matter how small it is good. And sister, you're on the right track. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Amen. Precious testimony. Thank you so much. I second that with the music as well. It was just really spirit-filled. Just really led us in a spirit of worship that was a real blessing Like Brother Tim said, just a needed week, even in that way. It was just tremendous. And one of the things that you said about their facial expressions, that's something I'm looking for in our church. Not that we have to be artificial. I could do a message about that. We don't want to be fakes. But you know, folks, we really should make it a purpose to really enjoy our worship, to show it in our expression, to be engaged in the songs that are going on and rejoicing, whether it's lifting a hand, smiling, crying, an emotion, the very fact that you are engaged in worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that God will help us in that, that it's just not the "here we go again" type worship. And Mike and I are working on that together. We're encouraging each other and how to give more of a variety in our worship services so we don't get in ruts. And so you pray for us, because we do want to help. We have a responsibility to lead you folks in worship. And so pray that God will give us wisdom in the days ahead how to do that and to continue to grow in that area as well. Been great. We got time, folks. Anybody else want to share a testimony? It's on your heart. And I'm sure it'd be a blessing if anybody else would like to share. Sister Becky?
Yeah, I just want to praise the Lord for just a lot of little things, especially for my sister being
Amen.
Able to move down here and my father. And God really spoke to my heart in the two operating systems of life and how we are tested.
Mm.
And He really spoke to me in that we are broken and that we are to be more like Him each time. And that song really spoke to me that more like Him, and
Amen.
I want to be more like Him. So you just pray for us as our family is always being tested, and how we can look to Him and see, recognize Him and see His supernatural power in our lives, and that we can just project the empowerment of Christ that lives within us and
Amen.
The love that we can have.
Thank Amen. You. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, sister. Anybody else here? We're just rejoicing, folks. We're just glorifying the Lord Jesus, what He did by His Spirit in our church. That's what we're doing. It's just kind of a thank you service to the Lord for helping us in some decisions we needed to make. And we're being outward with it by encouraging each other. Anybody else just want to give gratitude for what God did in your heart last week? Brother Daniel?
Probably one of the biggest things that God showed me throughout the week was on Monday night when Brother Aaron was talking about joy. He talked about problems that come up, and he asked the question, "Do you worry more about these things or do you pray about them?" And that really hit me because I had some major decisions I had to make. And I started thinking about that. Do I stress out more than I pray? And I realized in a lot of cases I do. So the days after that, I spent more time praying about these issues. Whenever I started to worry about something, started praying about it. It was kind of amazing. God actually led me when I was praying. So I encourage you all to be thinking about that.
Amen. Amen. It works. Sure does. Anybody else like to share something God did in your heart this past week? Be an encouragement. Yeah. Won't keep it going too long here. Sister Sherry, over here, Brother Brad, Sherry Shaw. Oh, Mike's got it. Okay.
It was confirming for me on one issue. Asking the Holy Spirit for direction. I'm a firstborn. I have lots of ideas, and I like to get them done. So the idea of remembering to stop, the being leery of your own ideas and desperate for God really stood out to me. And I went home, and right on our computer desk it says, "Remember, ask the Holy Spirit." You know, just again, those were notes that the Lord has been placing on my heart that I put up as reminders, and to have that be part of the week, it was like, okay, Lord, I will start Amen. Being leery of my firstborn get it done tendencies.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Someone else want to give a testimony? We'll let you give it now. We sure will. Just want there to be liberty. Want there to be liberty. Yes, Sister Kelly. Amen.
I know I wasn't able to be here this week, but it was a blessing to be able to bring your child home because we have a friend that they had their baby the day before we did, and they are not able to bring their baby home. Mm. They just were able to hold it yesterday, and then they've had to leave him there. And it just lets you know how blessed you are.
Yes.
The evidence of prayer. And I just want to thank everybody for praying. And
Amen.
I know without it, you know, it could have been completely different. You know, I could be, you know, here and he could be there.
That's
and
right.
So it's just been a blessing, you know, to have people in a church family that care. And they genuinely care. You know, like I said, it's not a front or, you know, people actually genuinely care for you and your family and your well-being and are praying for, you know, them now and for their future. So I just wanted to go ahead and let everyone know thank you, and I do appreciate it. And,
Amen.
You know, continued prayers. You know, he's growing and they're growing. So I just want to tell everybody thank you.
What a blessing. Amen. We're so thankful to have little Hunter Daniel part of our family, and he is a little bundle of joy. Hopefully he's sleeping well at night. Amen. It's funny, I asked Tommy earlier, how's he sleeping? He said, well, Kelly said he's doing pretty good. Hey, sounded like me. But anybody else, like just give a word of testimony. Just thank the Lord for what he did in your life this past week and your family. We're not going to rush that. Brother Bill?
I can't help but think as I think about the coffees, the joy in their singing.
Amen.
And I'm reminded of Fanny Crosby and how she must be joyfully singing now.
Amen.
And those people that were starved to death in the Holocaust, I know many of them are singing praises to God.
Yeah.
They because this life is, this is a planet of death.
It is.
We can't let it get us
planet
down.
Planet of corruption.
We've got to look beyond this life and look at Christ. You know,
Amen.
It's like looking over the dark terrain and seeing the sunset in the distance. We need to focus on that sunset and not get lost in the darkness.
Yes.
So.
Amen. Amen. That's good. It's good stuff. Anybody else? Just to share a testimony. I'm not going to rush it, folks. The Lord Jesus is more important than us getting out of here early tonight. He's worthy of our praise, and we're not going to force anything, but Sister Kay, we'll just let the Spirit lead, you know.
I'm one of those moms that think they have to figure it out for their kids, you know. I want to help them get things figured out and make sure they know where they're going and know how they get there and everything. My kids are 22 and 25, you know. They can do this better than I can, but I still think they need my help. So, and Martin tells me I just worry about everything, but I don't think I worry as much as he thinks I do. I just ponder, you know. I think about things, you know. But,
I like that, ponder.
So that's what Mary did, you know. She pondered.
Yeah.
so that's what I feel I tend to do maybe too much of. But we were on our way over here, and I was just, you know, my kids just told me they're both going to Uganda. So that will make you ponder a lot. So we were on our way over here Tuesday night, and Mark said, you know, he's going to preach on worry tonight. And sure enough, we got here. I'm serious. Philippians 4. And, I mean, this is something that I've really, it's helped me, and I've got to realize the Lord can take care of my kids better than I can.
Yes.
And He has shown me that so many times. And I trust Him and I thank Him for it.
Amen.
And I just appreciate that scripture and just Him bringing that out and how, you know, the things He brought out about that.
Amen, sister. Thank you so much. That is good. someone else, to just give a quick testimony of how the Lord spoke to your heart this week, help change your course, your direction, just your thought pattern, anything that you feel like would be. Yeah, Joanna?
So, as most of you know, I didn't get to come most of the week, and I have to confess I was pretty disappointed about that because I had been looking forward to it so much. But I'm thankful that I got to be here Sunday morning because that message really spoke to my heart about the fact that God is for us. Mm. And because it was probably about Tuesday, and I was really feeling down and bummed about it, and Caroline's fever's really high, and I guess I just realized that this is not going to be she's not going to get over this quickly, and I definitely don't want to spread this to the rest of the nursery. And so I was just kind of complaining to the Lord, like, Lord, I was really looking forward to it, and now I have to sit home every night. And the Lord just reminded me, no, I'm for you. And in the grand scheme of things, I may not understand it, but I want you home this week. I want you with your little girl.
Amen.
And it was just an encouragement to me that to know that God is for me and that I can't necessarily see the big picture, but He's got reasons for what He does. And,
amen.
I just praise Him.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. That was a wonderful truth, just to be reminded of that, that God is for us. He's for each of us. He's for our family. He's for our church. And He's leading us. And thank God for that. Someone else, I'd like to just share something the Lord's just prompting you to say. We want to give you liberty to testify if you feel led in that way. Anybody else? Yes, Anna? Yeah? Let's get the mic down here.
Okay, so the coffee team was like a really big blessing to me this week, even though I didn't go Wednesday, which was really depressing. But so I had been going through some stuff, right, and it's just been eating me up. And so I went and I talked to someone from the coffee team on Tuesday, I think it was, and they gave me something to do, and I did it, and I came back on Friday, and so they helped me with a few things, and I ended up realizing that even though I have made a profession of faith before, I wasn't actually saved, which was scary, you know, kind of a get-out-of-hell-free card thing, which is not right. So I ended up giving my soul to the Lord on Friday, and I just need y'all's prayers because this is new-ish for me, and it's kind of,
Amen. Praise the Lord, Anna. Hallelujah. That's a blessing, isn't it, folks? And we're going to pray for you, sister, It's tough when you have that struggle, especially with our young people that maybe had made a profession of faith but have struggled with it. And it's just good to get it nailed down. And sister, we're so thankful that you are born again and know it because of what God did in your life. And we're rejoicing with you. And it's an answer to prayer, too, because we prayed, not specifically for Anna, but we just prayed for our church, that if there be anybody here, for whether it be a guest or a member that's just struggling with salvation, I believe people ought to be able to have liberty in our church to be able to admit that there is a doubt, that there is a struggle, that they're not going to be looked down upon or, you know, cast away or whatever, you know, or laughed at. No. We need liberty in this place, folks. And boy, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I thank God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else like to share a testimony? Something God's impressed upon your heart to share tonight. And or you won't be kicking yourself going down the road, you know, type thing. I should have said it. I knew I should have said it. Anybody else? Give you. These have been so good, hadn't they? Just the Lord's been glorified in these testimonies. It's all about Him, isn't it? You know, there's some people that couldn't be here. As Joanna said, I talked to the Fortunatos, and of course Kippy and those were here this morning. And it's difficult. They wanted to be here so bad. And also pray for Sister Geneva, Miss Geneva. She wanted to be here so bad this week, but she has got this chronic bronchitis and just causing her to cough, chronic cough, and pray for Sister Geneva. I know she would love to be here. Let's pray for her and others that weren't able to come because of sickness. But the Lord has met with us, and I'm trusting that this will continue throughout this spring, especially with our theme of being faithful and trustworthy with what God has given us. Anyone else like to close us out with a testimony? We can take one, or we can take two or three more. But anybody else want to share a testimony before we leave? All right. Yes, Brother Thomas.
Thank you. This week was a blessing. I think somebody mentioned the sermon he preached on Philippians 4 about joy, and some of the joy killers that God put his finger on in my life are relationships and circumstances. And I'm so glad the Lord shed light on that. I'm so also glad for the message he preached on how David, God knows every thought you think, everything you're going to do, and yet he still loves you. And David rejoiced in that because Amen. The Lord was with him. And I just thought about that, how just freeing that is. And
it is.
Not that we can do anything we want to, but
right.
We can just come to him, confess our faults. And even at the end of that psalm, David said, "Search me and try me."
Yeah.
There may be something like a blind spot he was talking about. And I'm so glad for this past week. And you mentioned about how, usually these kind of weeks are exhausting, but I didn't feel exhausted at the end of this week except for my job. But
sure,
I was able to come here every night. Praise the Lord for that. And
a couple people say that.
I did not feel exhausted. It was a joy to come here.
Amen.
And also the music. Somebody mentioned the music.
Amen.
Music was wonderful.
It sure was.
It was a blessing. So I just want to praise God for that week.
Amen. Amen. Looking forward to them coming back. Really am. Just praise God for them. Anybody else? This has been so sweet. Praise the Lord. We don't always, all of us feel led to give testimonies, and that's okay. There's nothing to feel guilty about. But I will say this. I believe I might be correct in saying this. We all that were here, we all made decisions this week to the Word of God. And I just want to encourage you as a church, would you, in your prayer time, whether it be family devotions or personal, would you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ that made decisions this week? Let's pray for each other. The Bible says a lot about praying for one another, pray you for one another. And let's pray as you pray, Lord, help some of the testimonies you've heard here tonight. And those that didn't say anything, just keep it general. Lord, our church made a lot of decisions this week that you talked to us about. And let's pray that, Lord, would you help all of us to be faithful to those decisions, to be trusted with them, and to allow them to carry us through this year with the power of God. And I know he'll answer that prayer. I believe that. And be exalted in it. Well, if there's no other testimonies, we'll get ready to close the service here. Anybody else have any testimony before we close the service in song?